It's the first episode of 2020. Unless you're on Patreon or Floatplane, in which case you're watching this early.
You get the time travel if you give us money.
Into the past.
That's how that works. So yeah, here we are, 2020. And we're ringing in the new year.
What an amazing segue.
With some bad news for Jeff Bezos. Because you might think that 2020 could be the year of the ring. You know, it's really ramping up. A lot of people are buying them, but a lot of people are upset over them as well.
Amazon and Ring are facing a lawsuit over alleged security camera hacks. Let me boil it down to you. A list of compromised accounts was published on the internet, and that still didn't spring Amazon into action. They didn't even bother downloading the list, which literally anybody could download, and just go ahead and lock those accounts. So this is like amateur hour. I would expect this of like the three-person startup in like San Fernando Valley that's just on their second run of VC capital money. That's what I would expect this kind of, not Amazon. Not, I mean, they've got AWS. AWS has better security than this. What are they doing?
Now, you do expect this kind of thing from those Chinese IP cameras that you buy on eBay.
And oh,
there are search engines online where you can just go and find those that have the default username and password. But with Ring, you got to know that you're going to be under the microscope. And it's already been a stormy season for Ring. There's a lot of controversy. But in their defense, this was just a bunch of stupid users. But this is what happens. This is the iPhoning of surveillance equipment, right? Like, yeah. You're selling it to the normies. You have to safeguard them. Well, you don't have to, but if you don't, this happens. So,
can my password be password? Sure. Sounds good to us.
No, but I'm going to use the @ symbol for the A.
That sounds even better. Super That's a secure. Very secure password.
Yeah. But perhaps to lift his spirits a bit, Mr. Bezos can look at this headline, which I'm sure in a large part he was responsible for.
Holiday season online shopping hit a new high in the U.S. this year. 18.8%, the percentage rise year over year in online shopping. It makes perfect sense. Why, if you know like what you're getting people for Christmas and you don't need to just browse, even if you do need to browse, you can just order it on Amazon.
Which I did. A lot of.
I think everybody did.
I contributed to a lot of human suffering. And I'm not crazy about it, but it's so convenient.
Well, we have a dark story later about how the things might have equalized a little bit.
Yeah, a little, like the gods decided to have a little petty revenge.
Mm.
Now, one Donald Trump tweeted that this was the biggest rise ever. That wasn't true.
That was a lie.
That's fake news. But, you know, there's a lot of numbers involved. He probably just got confused. Actually, the biggest one ever was last year. We did not beat the record. Now, we did go up considerably. Nothing to sneeze at, but not as big a rise.
I found myself in one of the shopping areas around here 2 days before Christmas for unrelated shopping reasons. And it was a madhouse. It was utter insanity.
It's craziness.
Like, those parking lots that are normally never more than, like, one-third full were beyond capacity.
Yeah, I always park as far away as I can from other cars. I don't care to walk. There was no solace in that parking lot. It was just fine. Just bang the shit out of it. I don't care. But I went grocery shopping the day after Christmas. That was such a pleasure. It was just me and old people in the middle of the day. Well, continuing on with our Amazon stories, the Amazon Go platform is that fancy convenience store, like kind of grocery store, midpoint, hybrid.
Don't forget Whole Foods.
And, I'm saying the Amazon Go stores are famous because you just walk in and take whatever you want. And they have the cameras and everything. But based on a patent filing, perhaps they're looking at a new way to track customers.
Amazon wants to patent technology that could identify shoppers by their hands. The system could someday be used in Amazon Go or Whole Foods stores. Because you need, you know, Whole Foods is upscale. But you need something even more upscale than Whole Foods? Let's go. What it does is it takes a picture of the blood vessels and crap inside your hand. So, like, you hold your hand over a thing. And it takes some kind of, like, weird 3D picture of your hand and the stuff just below the skin. Turns that into something individually identifiable. So it's like biometric data. And then that's your identification.
Cool. I mean, I'm trying to think of ways you could fake that. That'd be tough to do.
It's like, okay, we think this guy's a spy because he doesn't have Amazon Prime. He doesn't have Amazon Go. He doesn't have one of the DNA ancestry kits. Ergo, he must be a spy.
See, that's going to make him super useful when the robots rise up.
He can be invisible. He's completely invisible.
He's a gray man. So if you ordered all your stuff on Amazon, like most people did, you saw a lot of those blue Prime trucks rolling up in your driveway. And the Prime delivery people are not good compared to UPS and FedEx. And maybe we know why. Because UPS and FedEx have, you know, like quality control and...
training programs.
Training. Yeah.
But driver training... This is from Ars Technica. Driver training was reportedly too much of a bottleneck for Amazon. Bottleneck in quotation marks there. Time used to train thousands of drivers is time they are not making deliveries. So internally at Amazon, a bunch of people actually put together a plan for onboarding these delivery drivers. Training programs, simulation, you know, thousands of hours of stuff, thousands of hours of training stuff for voluntary training and that kind of thing. Amazon execs were like, nope, this is going to take too long. We need those people delivering packages yesterday. So they need to get out and actually do stuff. In a twist of events, one of their executives was hit by an Amazon delivery truck. That was not mentioned in this.
Well, it's a different story.
Oh, okay. So
that was in nonsense.
Oh, okay, okay. So I was like, I thought it was weird this one didn't mention that. We'll talk about that in nonsense, but yeah.
But they also talk about, in both of these stories, you know, peeing in the bottles, running stop signs. That's apparently something that, like, they don't train you to do that, but the salty older drivers is like, listen, son, you want to succeed in this game? You got to run those stop signs. Because the pace is just ridiculous. But I do like getting my packages the next day.
A lot of our viewers that are in more metropolitan areas are like, next day? What is this next day stuff? It's same day for us.
You country folk and your simple ways. My parents are strictly 2-day. You cannot get next day on the mountainside.
There was somebody that I was talking to that does the YouTube thing, and he lives near one of the hubs, and he was saying that, like, when he orders something, like, 6 hours later, it's at his house. It's crazy.
That's nice. That'd be a good reason to move. Like, do you think property values
around the hubs go up?
Well, this one hits close to home. Over the break, I watched a lot of TV.
Wow.
I caught up on, like, all the... See, I watched The Witcher and The Mandalorian.
Oh, I didn't watch The Mandalorian. I watched most of the episodes of The Witcher. It's pretty good.
I thought did it not confuse you when they jumped around in the timeline?
Because yeah.
Everybody looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Pop up some text on the screen here, boys. I don't know when this is.
I think it's more like the books than the game. So now I have to read the books and it'll probably make more sense.
I don't know. I mean, because Geralt wore the same clothes and looked exactly the same because he's ageless throughout the entirety of, it was like a 30, 40 year span.
I don't know. He had some very, like, it seemed like his face scars were a little different in the later timeline than the earlier timeline.
Well, I might not have noticed that because maybe I was playing some video games during some of that watching. And apparently, I am not in the minority.
88% of Americans use a second screen while watching TV. Why? It's because the TV show moves very slow. Very slow.
And also, Mr. Nate Anderson, oh my God, you're insufferable. I hate you. But apparently, so Nate can't figure it out why, but like you say, so many times sitting through those shows, those long, agonizing reaction shots where people are just staring off into the distance. Oh my God, tell the story. Let's go. Let's get it done. And you just get bored. You got to edit better. Edit better.
I'm surprised there was that much nudity in The Witcher on Netflix, to be honest.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, they didn't go full Game of Thrones, but any excuse for Yennefer's boobs to be out, they took it. Which, hey, can you really complain? And speaking of the human body being on display, how about not just your naked flesh, but what's underneath? And I was trying to, like, could you think of any use cases here? Because they were talking about doing this at a distance. Now, here's...
The Amazon Go.
The dystopian part of me was like, wait a minute. You can tell if my organs are healthy from a safe distance? Where could that be applied?
MIT reveals the first ever laser ultrasound pictures of a human body. So they're using a laser to create sound. They apparently found a certain frequency or whatever of this laser, and then they were able to use another laser to look at how your skin vibrates based on the first laser hitting it, which is able to approximate what you get from an ultrasound. Now, right now, the resolution of a traditional ultrasound exceeds what they're able to do with the laser, but this is still damned impressive.
And they talk about, I don't know if they want to ever do this to babies, because it is a laser. I don't know how dangerous that is, but they can just, the guy who was advocating this was like, yeah, I picture a world where you wake up in the morning, and while you're standing in front of the mirror, it's like, oh, your organ health is excellent today. Or, oh, the liver's looking a little damaged. What did you do last night? You know, that kind of thing. That's just terrifying.
That's probably coming. I mean, I would like that if it was not the big cloud aspect. Like, you wake up in the morning, and it's like, here's your blood sugar and your blood pressure and, like, what's going on with your urine and, you know, just all the data.
Yeah, but imagine you walk into a hospital, and, like, as you come through the automatic doors, it's like, bing, get out. You're not welcome here. No, sorry. You're already too damaged. Pre-existing condition.
Oh, they've subpoenaed the... Wait, how did the insurance company subpoena records from my toilet? No.
You clicked a checkbox when you're installing your toilet.
It's able to pinpoint the exact day that I started having colon problems.
Now, you might recall earlier this year when Mr. Elon Musk committed blatant securities fraud. I remember that day.
I remember.
And he remembers it too because he had to settle. But, in his defense, he has reached that milestone that seemed like a fairy tale at the time.
Tesla stock has hit its quote-unquote funding secured at $420 a share price as Elon Musk gets the last laugh. So he tweeted, funding secured, funding was not secured. Although he was in talks with a German finance company and Saudi Arabia. I don't know like if it was really that, but he said that it would going private would hurt some long-term Tesla shareholders. So he's not going to do that. But hey, Tesla actually just a year later did hit that valuation.
They also borrowed a ton of money in China to ramp up production there. So going into the Chinese market. We'll see how it works out for them.
Can't tariff what's already made there.
Yeah. Do you have the balls to jump in at 420?
Apparently people are.
It's really too bad Chris is not here. Because those jokes write themselves. Meanwhile, one of the things that I saw a lot of, now my Google News, you know, Google News does that thing where it's like, I know what you want to see. Let me show you a lot of it. Anti-Tesla stuff, well, it's packed in there. And there were a lot of stories about with the shopping crowds, you could not get to a charger. It was just like around the block lines, people waiting for a charger.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading some angry stories where, like, non-Teslas were parking charging stations, and it was like, nope, tow that out of there.
Yeah, there was a Mustang. But this wasn't even that. This was, like, legitimate, just rows and rows and rows of Teslas waiting. Because they... So, you have to spend an hour and a half sitting in your Tesla waiting for a charging station. What can you do in the meantime? Well, it turns out you can do a lot.
Elon Musk says Tesla will add Disney Plus to its vehicles, quote-unquote, soon. Disney Plus. It's like the Borg of streaming services. Resistance is futile.
Well, they've already got Netflix and YouTube and a couple of video games in the old Tesla store, I guess. So while you're sitting there waiting to charge up, watch The Mandalorian.
Was it any good?
I was... So, minor spoiler... I didn't realize that Baby Yoda was like a pivotal plot point. I thought he was just, you know, a fun little side thing. It's about him. I liked it. It was, you know, like I said, there's a lot of boring spots, but at the same time. Also, it seems like it's interesting because several of the episodes were just like that throwback 80s style where there's a bunch of guest stars who you're never going to see again. And it's just like a one-off little adventure. A lot of the Breaking Bad people. Bill Burr. How is Bill Burr getting these high-profile acting jobs? I mean, he doesn't do a bad job, but it's like, who sees him as a big dramatic actor? The CEO of Uber really caused them a lot of problem this decade.
And then he stepped down.
Well, he stepped down as the
CEO.
CEO. He was still the chairman of the board, right, or on the board.
Yep.
And still maybe causing some trouble because the new direction of Uber wasn't really with that. Well, it's finally settled.
Then he became a director. So Travis Kalanick, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, has severed all ties with Uber, departing the board and selling all of his shares. Yes, he is going to be a billionaire as a result of doing that. But he's out. He is not part of Tesla anymore.
He's definitely not part of Tesla.
I mean, Uber.
Now, if Uber collapses under the weight of its not making any money, he's going to look like the biggest genius in the universe, walking away with $2 billion after all that.
I don't understand how, like, Instagram was worth $1 billion when it only had 13 employees. I don't understand how Uber needs more than, for what it does, needs more than, like, 200 or 300 employees, maybe, like, 100 developers, and then, like, everybody else is just going to be in, like, legal and monitoring and, like, all of the logistics and policy.
Well, I think they have to try and maintain, because if you segment that market one more time, like you've got Lyft and then you've got the robot cars, one more competitor who undercuts you and you're never going to make money. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, you're doing everything you can to maintain. Plus, there's all like the molestations and the rapes and... There's a lot to worry about.
You're going to need like a 2 or 3 to 1, like 2 or 3 people to deal with that kind of stuff per every programmer.
Maybe. But perhaps here's an answer to your question. What some people at Uber are doing is trying to come up with new gimmicks for Uber. And this one seems impressive. I don't think most of us have the amount of money that you would require to use this service.
Uber's plan to launch an air taxi service in 2023 just got a boost from a secretive startup. Joby Aviation, based in California, has kept most of its work under wraps. We see something like this pop up about every 6 months. And this one is in California. The last time something like this popped up, it was in New York. And it was like, hey, are you a rich executive? You can take this from, you know, here to here in New York without having to charter a helicopter to fly, you know, from roof to roof on your buildings.
But I think they do Uber helicopters, don't they?
Yeah.
So Joby actually mentioned that, what you just said, and they're like, hey, we don't talk about this because you constantly hear people talking about this. We're not about talking about it. We're about doing it. So we'll see. That's kind of a cool picture, but the really cool one is the concept art. Look at that thing.
Yeah.
You think these are batteries or would people be in there?
I think batteries. I think that those are designed for like 3 or 4 passenger, no pilot.
Well, probably not a lot of legroom in there. But I guess you're not going on long trips, so it's okay. Stack Overflow, or Stack Exchange, which is the overarching part of Stack Overflow, had a little bit of a controversy with gender politics. So it turns out they had a moderator who just wasn't playing along. And I'm like, listen, I don't care what your gender is. We're here to fix bugs, and then we're going to fix bugs. So just don't bother me with all that garbage. Well, that's a hate crime in the modern temperature of the country. And Stack Overflow came down pretty hard, but they met with a little resistance.
Update, an agreement with Monica Celio. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. So really, one of the things that she did was ask for clarification a bunch on this pronouns policy, this preferred pronouns policy. And the Stack, like, this was a code of conduct change that was coming that was never actually official. And so they demoderated her.
Banned her, I think.
And they updated the policy. And they didn't refer to her specifically in the policy, but it was clear the policy was about her. But they didn't say it was about her. But then some reporters asked, hey, what's going on? And when they responded to the reporters, they were like, oh, yeah, this is all Monica. So damage to reputation, that might have turned that into a legally actionable thing. She started a Kickstarter, raised $25,000 for lawyers, which really doesn't get you super far in lawyer land, but it's not bad. It's not a bad start. And then the Stack Exchange people were like, you know what? Let's work our differences out.
And they gave her a count back, but they offered the moderator back, and she's not interested.
Well, she has not yet responded to that, according to
the, I don't think she's going to. I think she's going to respond with a legal letter, which is exactly what she should do. Because God bless the people on Stack Exchange. I mean, come on.
It is a good format.
I can't help but think back to those guys in the 70s and 80s who couldn't Google an error code. The work that we are standing on their shoulders these days, we don't have to suffer that way. And it's people like Monica that we have to thank for that. That's ridiculous to bring politics into that. Just talk about nerdy stuff on there. Nothing else. Well, the Inquirer, that's a website we use from time to time. But I'm going to say, I'm going to make an executive decision, we're not going to use them in the future.
2020, gone. Oh no, the Inquirer reaches end of life. We came, we inquired, we're off to the pub. So the Inquirer is shutting down. Publishing online is hard. There's not a lot of money to be made in banner ads and that sort of thing. So we haven't even bothered with banner ads on the Level 1 website or forum. It's supported by our patrons and people on Floatplane and crap like that because banner ads don't pay. They don't pay anything. It's worthless.
You know what does pay is super invasive tracking scripts. And you just simply...
Also clickbait.
I mean, you can't...
A lot of clickbait.
You can't allow those tracking scripts because they hinder the performance.
Yeah. And they're also insanely invasive.
Yeah. So the Inquirer, they were actually... their parent company was bought out. And it seems like they just weren't interested in keeping a website like that. So one less source of information. Never good. But what can we do? Soldier on. What we'll do is move on to the robot section.
There's a lot of robot news at the end of the year. I don't know if people's like their grants are up or they need more funding or whatever, but
yeah.
A lot of robot press releases.
Well, a lot of AI press releases. And the first couple of them have to do with language, because when it comes to AI, understanding language and writing things and summarizing things, it's one of the more difficult things to do, and there's an arms race. And right now it's between Baidu and Google, two behemoths.
Baidu has a new trick for teaching AI the meaning of language. Inspired by a difference between Chinese and English, it shows how AI research benefits from diversity. So, like, if you only read one story this week, read this story. It's fascinating. And it's incredible. It's utterly incredible. So, the General Language Understanding Evaluation, otherwise known as GLUE, Baidu has moved from, like, 84% to, like, 90% or something like that. And I've forgotten what the trick was. But this is an incredible, like, it was like the article explains it and it was like, oh, that's so simple. Why didn't anybody think of that before?
Well, let's see. That's when they talk about the difference between Chinese and English. So in Chinese, in English, each word is its own thing. Each word can have meaning by itself. But in Chinese, individual characters can be meaningless without the character before or after them. So BERT, which was Google's program, had to be usurped by Ernie, of course. The Chinese went with Ernie. Ernie can look at before and after context, whereas BERT was like the Google autocomplete. It only looked forward, but Ernie looks for context on both sides. And that's revolutionary, especially for Chinese, but it turns out it's good for English as well.
Neat.
Pretty good, but Google was not just sitting back on their heels during all of that. They might have lost that battle, but perhaps not the war.
Google's Brain AI achieved state-of-the-art text summarization performance. So it would take a large body of text and summarize it into the most important things. Which sounds crazy, but some of the examples were pretty impressive.
And again, this one scored above your average reader.
Yeah. This is also an improvement over previous versions because it was able to synthesize new text as opposed to just highlighting or combining text from the write-up. So, like, this AI was capable of writing completely novel sentences to describe something described in the paper more succinctly.
And track a subject from the first part of a paragraph to the end of the paragraph. Because that, you know, those the AIs that generate paragraph text, they'll often switch the main idea will be something else by the end. And it makes sense if you just gloss over it, but you're just like, wait a minute, what? And they have somehow figured out a way to deal with that. It's too bad Chris is not here, because this is another story where we should get her insights on curved text. I'm sure she would have strong opinions on it. I'm not sure if there'd be pro or con, but she would definitely feel strongly about curved text.
Probably con.
Yeah.
Amazon researchers use AI to improve the recognition of curved text, which is apparently a hard thing to do. So as you see in the sign here, you know, tracking the text in kind of a curved format, it's hard to do that with traditional character recognition, but they've added another layer to the neural net, and now it's like, oh, okay, we can do that now.
So they kind of show how they draw these boundaries around what they think are curved words, and then they're able to kind of flatten them out and read them based on that curve. It's one of those weird things that you really wouldn't think about an AI being bad at, but it's actually incredibly difficult. Just a simple thing. The human brain is so good at compensating for that.
Yeah.
But a robot is not. And perhaps that's how we'll leave messages to the other resistance members in the future.
Curved text.
Or circular, or we'll have to do something crazy.
We'll have to fire bullets into a brick wall in the shape of letters.
And perhaps we'll be firing those bullets from our arm cannons, much like Mega Man. Now, Mega Man 2, it was a difficult game, but it was nothing compared to Mega Man 1. That Gutsman level with the falling platforms, every kid I knew feared that. You'd say that and you'd see just a look of emptiness and terror in their eyes, because it was unfair how hard it was. But Mega Man 2 is famous for having the difficult bosses, and perhaps that's just the challenge that an AI needs.
Researchers want to use Mega Man 2 to evaluate AI. So yeah, it's four enemies, I think, four different enemies, and then the AI has to juggle with, you know, ever how many of that kind of enemy on screen at once. And
well, it's just the bosses,
and that's going to be the evaluation of the AI.
But I think it's four of, because there was more than four in the game, so they're randomly taking four. But it's interesting because in Mega Man there was a progression, like each enemy had a weakness who was the other enemy, and you could switch to their power. So I wonder if the AI is going to figure that out.
That's tricky.
But if you give them four random ones, you might make that impossible.
Hmm.
It's interesting. So yeah, another game that we're going to use to sharpen up that AI military. Great. We talk about every week, almost every week, AI is just getting better and better at recognizing our diseases. And these stories, I mean, they're so cookie cutter now. It's amazing. But we're just so jaded to it. It's like, yeah, okay, cancer.
Artificial intelligence identifies previously unknown features associated with cancer recurrence. So what was this? This was colon cancer or something?
It was broad spectrum. So they were feeding it prostate.
Okay, prostate. So it turns out that the connective tissues for prostate cancer can be an indicator of whether or not cancer is going to recur. And a lot of the doctors that work on cancer hadn't considered connective tissues as any kind of anything to do with the cancer at all.
And they gave this AI slides of, I guess, cancer prostate biopsies or something. And they did not tell it what to look for. And they didn't tell it which slides were of cancer. They just let it sort of learn on its own, and it came up with this relationship, which is one of those crazy black box things that
AIs like, hey, these look different. And then doctors that looked at it were like, oh yeah, that does look different. So it was black box, but then when doctors examine the results, they're like, oh, there might be something to that.
Crazy. We're not going to have any idea how they kill us when it finally comes. It's going to be this novel way of exterminating humanity that we never considered. And right before we die, we're going to be like, wow, can't believe they figured that out. So impressed as I asphyxiate. We talked about drones a little bit earlier and strapping a radio transponder onto them so they can be tracked. Perhaps this story is a bit of a motivator in that sense. Although I have a feeling that the powers that be know what's going on here.
Yeah.
It's only the peons that don't.
Mysterious drones flying nighttime patterns over northeast Colorado have local law enforcement stumped. So they seem to be flying some sort of search pattern, but no one will claim responsibility for what these are. So local authorities say they don't know who's behind the mysterious aircraft. I'm going to make a level one prediction and say this is the DEA looking for unlicensed marijuana grow operations.
In Colorado, though? Did the DEA even have funding in Colorado for marijuana anymore?
There's big money in licensing, although the licensing there is not as onerous as it is in California.
So they are between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. every night. You can set your watch to it. They search the same grid, and they do it in exactly the same way.
It's either that or the local Bigfoot hunters chapter, where there's like we're gonna catch him tonight because we're flying thermal cameras.
Who do you think's funding that?
Probably just a bunch of hobbyists that are like, the truth will be discovered about Bigfoot.
If somebody found Bigfoot and they monetized it intelligently, how much money do you think they'd make?
Oh, I mean, if you turned it into like a P.T. Barnum thing traveling the country, that would make hundreds of millions of dollars.
There's no way you can do that, though. There's like, because that's still an animal. Mm. That's animal cruelty. Mm. They would whip that thing out of your hands so fast. You'd have to figure out how to do it.
Probably still worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's a good engagement challenge, chat. If you found Bigfoot, how would you benefit from it? Electric cars. We talk about the holiday nightmare because, hey, everybody's driving a Tesla and you're all at the Whole Foods at the same time sniffing your own farts. Where do you charge? There's only 5 spots, but there's 25 of you. Well, Volkswagen might have the answer.
VW's prototype charging robot can find your EV in the parking garage. So basically, this is a robot that hauls around an extra battery, and that battery dumps its load into your battery.
Ugh.
What could possibly go wrong?
What does it do?
Phrasing.
Look how happy it is to be giving you that, to be dumping its load, as you say. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, what they don't have at this point is a universal connector or the technology to get it into the charging port successfully on all car models.
That battery also seems a little small compared to the size of the battery in the car, because I'm assuming the car is maximal density.
They mentioned that. It's like, what, 50 kilowatts or something? It's not enough to fill up a car. So this robot would have to have a fleet of batteries that it ferries back and forth, and you would never get a full charge. But it would be like enough to get you home or whatever.
That would be cool. It's like, instead of validating your parking, it's like, oh, yeah, we charged your EV. Thanks.
Or over the course of a work day, if 15% of your workforce had EV cars, it might get them all.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could be neat.
Well, self-driving cars seem to be inevitable, even though a lot of people don't want them. But we are maybe having some teething issues on the way to that automation. Not in cars that even advertise full automation, just the driver assist.
Mazda 3 bug activates emergency brake system for no reason. 35,000 vehicles are being recalled to fix the issue. We actually reported on this issue, not with Mazda, but stuff like this was happening, I think, with Tesla vehicles. It was misdetecting that there was an obstacle in the highway and then taking immediate evasive action. And I think even Musk talked about how this would be a common problem with vision-based driverless systems as opposed to like LiDAR or something like that type systems. And so here, you know, that prediction is coming true in this Mazda system.
I had an Infiniti that had the laser-based system. This was in 2008, and it missed constantly. And it used the brakes, and it would snap your neck and be like, oh, this idiot thinks that there's something there, but there's not. It was like curvy roads, like a road sign or something would reflect. And it's not surprising, although it might be a little disappointing. We talk about novel uses for robots, and we've actually talked about this before, although I think in the past we talked about ranchers using them to check on the flocks. But these guys have a whole new approach, and it's kind of amazing to look at.
Sky shepherds, the farmers using drones to watch their flocks by flight. So it looks like they're herding to me. I mean, they're actually doing the herding.
Yeah. So this guy said that normally he would use 4 guys on horses and 2 dogs. And with the drones, he's down to 2 guys on horses and 1 dog.
Wow.
And the drones will, you know, because they make a loud buzzing sound. The animals don't like it, and so you can herd them. They're also faster than any dog could be. But adorably, the sheep get used to the drone because they're like, hey, the drone's our buddy. They're here all the time. I don't need to fear them. So one guy added a speaker and dog barks to his drone. So his drone flies around and barks at them. But the real genius, the guy that should take home the prize, is this guy who, by hovering drones and throwing peanuts over a hedge, convinced these sheep that the drones dispensed food.
And they'll follow the drone.
So now these guys are drone followers. Look at that. And he only convinced, it's that percentage rule. So he pulled the percentage he needed out and fed them peanuts and then put them back in. And the other ones were like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll follow that. And so now, even though he's, you know, I don't know if these are just wool sheep or whatever, but you don't ever have to train them again because now they're raised and it's just normal to follow the drone. Brilliant.
It's amazing.
And not just animals that can benefit from the drones, but how about the plants? Because I don't know if it's really a benefit to the plant. It's kind of like being in a plant concentration camp. It's modern, big agriculture.
Pika and its autonomous electric crop spraying drone land $11 million in a seed round. So this is the largest drone that does not have to have a transponder. This article specifically mentions the other article talking about like the whole transponder thing. And it's like, nope, they've already got clearance from the FAA. This literally just flies just above the crops, which is much better than a traditional crop duster with like a helicopter or something like that. And all the precision maneuvers are done by AI and not a real human pilot. So it's insanely way safer. So the FAA and other industries want people to adopt it. But, I mean, look at it. It's almost as big as an ultralight. So,
and almost all of that size is a tank for the pesticides because you have to have a lot of liquid on that thing. So yeah, they point out that to crop dust, you have to fly low. And then you're, like, doing a tight turn and going around. You know, like, it's like mowing your lawn, except you don't have that visual cue of where to line it up the next time, and you have to make a turn in an aircraft.
Yeah.
Well, drone can do that very easily.
Yeah.
They don't get sleepy.
And AI and blah, blah, blah. It still requires a ground crew to refuel, but it only requires a 150-foot strip to land and take off, which is pretty easy for farmers to set up.
I think it's battery, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they just plug in a new battery and send it right back up. Pretty cool. That's going to cost some jobs. And speaking of costing jobs, what if your company, wherever you work, went 50% robot? How terrifying would that be in terms of unemployment? Well, now, hold on to that fear, but make it 100%.
Packing t-shirts, there's a Uniqlo robot for that. So this company is demoing their t-shirt packing robots. I forget the brand, like K something, the blue robots. I've seen some of those. Like Cooler Master uses those for now scroll down.
But this is who used to be folding the shirts.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No.
There we go. Yeah. Yakawasa? I don't know. I've seen those robots before in plants like Cooler Master making cases. So the software has become sophisticated enough that the attachments for those kind of robots are to the point where it's like, hey, we can fold t-shirts now and do it cost effectively. So normally those robots will shuffle around little bits of your case, like a metal side panel or something, into a stamping machine. Nope. Now they can fold t-shirts. Totally automated.
Now Uniqlo was famous for its automation before this. They just couldn't figure out, like, how do you fold a shirt? And the robots were bad at certain things, like picking up belts. And this robotics company stepped in, and they're like, all right, well, let's do it. We'll do it. Yaskawa is the people making it, but there's another company that built the software and the robotics.
Yeah.
Designed it. Mugen.
Yeah.
And, if you order from Uniqlo, which is apparently a big brand in Asia, your entire order, everything about your order is robot.
This is more than the t-shirt folding, like whatever the robot manipulation apparatus is, can deal with both hard and soft items, which was the last thing that they were waiting to crack for fully automated warehouses. So think like Amazon warehouse, but in Japan, but these robots are fully automated. So like picking up a soft t-shirt or a hard bottle or whatever they need to do to pick in place, here's the robot technology for it. So probably by this time next year, Amazon will have automated an even higher percentage of their warehouses.
Or those warehouses will be burned to the ground in the revolution. One of those two things.
2020 is the year of the seize the means of computation.
The Luddite 2.0 revolution coming soon. But you won't have to worry about that for CES, because CES is very soon. Was it like the 7th or something?
Yeah.
And if you're going, you can get yourself some delicious, delicious robot pizza.
Picnic's Pizza Robot can crank up to 300 pies per hour at CES. So you can have a pizza made by a robot. It can make some other stuff too. The article, I think, mentioned some other stuff you could get
burgers
at CES.
Burgers and tacos. Yeah. And burritos. Which, I guess a burrito wouldn't be a big deal because it's sort of the same layout. But a burger seems interesting. Now, this is the robot.
Flippy's out of a job.
We watched a video about this guy in a previous story because the Picnic is not new. The problem with Picnic is they put it in production and it couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
But this is, I guess, the new version, 300 an hour. I can't think of any pizza shop that's selling 300 an hour. I mean, you're doing pretty good.
So if you're at CES, pick up one of these pizzas and let us know how it is, and maybe we can like do something.
But I remember watching that video, and it made printer sounds as it was putting things on the pizza, and that disturbed me on a level. I don't know why, but I hated it.
That was the gag in Futurama a couple of times. Like when the machine in Futurama was doing something really sophisticated, it made like the dot matrix printer
sounds.
That's
what it sounded like. And it was like just dot matrixing sausage onto a pizza, and I was like, oh, I don't want that.
All right, what do we got for Friday? Nonsense, obviously.
So it's what we haven't done yet. Security and social media and nonsense.
See you Friday.